read Jesus' explanation or Jesus' revelation on worship. John chapter 4. Open your Bibles there. It's an explicit, clear, profound direction from the Lord Jesus about honoring and adoring the Father for who he is. John 4 and Luke 17. We're going to wait for you. Just prophesy it over your harvest. John 4 and Luke 17. Welcome you who are watching by internet, Roku. You certainly have supported the ministry. You're helping me do what I do. I don't say a whole lot about it because I want you to receive from the Lord, but I'm recognizing myself and my staff, recognizing your great support that we get from internet and Roku. God is the source of this ministry, but you're the instrument that he uses. Yes, I see. All over the world has happened. LTMA churches all over the world. This happening. People are prophesying over their harvest. The Lord said they're prophesying over prosperity. I may deal with that next week. The testimony of Jesus Christ. You know, you're supposed to make withdrawals from ministry gifts. You're supposed to make withdrawals from anointing. Anointings have something in it for you. In John chapter 4, and Jesus dealing with this woman and brought her to a point where she was converted. She had a bad life. And the gifts he, if you're reading the Bible, remember Jesus was functioning most of the time in the gifts of the Spirit. See, yeah. On this woman, he had a word of knowledge. Supernatural fact in the mind of God. No way for him to know she had had five husbands unless the Holy Spirit told him, because he was a man operating in the Spirit. And if you read best part in the gospel, you think you're just reading Jesus using his faith, but he's actually operating in the gifts of the Spirit. So the next time you read it, now look for the gifts of the Spirit. But it comes to the point in the 19th verse of the 4th chapter of John, this woman came to a discernment. And you're in good position when you recognize a gift. Because when you recognize a gift, you're setting yourself up to get blessed. That means you're open now. You recognize that, oh, I'm not talking to a regular person here. I'm talking to somebody who read my mail. And so here in the 19th verse, the woman said to him, after he told her some things, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. I perceive that thou art a prophet." Well, the revelation that she had come into with him made her know that he was someone, a gift from God. Amen? Amen. And so from there, Jesus began now to train her properly about worship. The importance of worship, the importance of knowing how to worship. She said, our father worship in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. In verse 20. And then verse 21, Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Now the 22nd verse, the first statement, is very important for us to come to clarity here. You worship, you know not what. Now that's a statement there. You mean, other words, you can say it another way. You don't know who you worship. See, and you cannot worship somebody you don't know. One of the points that I have, the reason people don't worship God like they should, they don't fully recognize what God have done for them. We're going to see that in our next text. But he says, you worship, you know not what. We know what we worship or who we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Then he gave us 23rd and 24th verse with clarity. But the hour coming now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And then he says, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. You see that? Yes, then it reveals to us that God is a spirit. God is a what?
A spirit.
And say, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. All right, turn to Luke chapter 17. Look at verse 11. Luke 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, talking about Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria, that's Samaria again, in Galilee. And he entered into a certain village. Now, I want you to listen at this lesson. There met him what? How many?
Ten
men that were lepers. Were stood afar. Now, they had to stay for so many hundreds of feet, I believe. Leprosy, at that time, a person, half his hand might be have fallen off. You could see his bone. It was just a tuber disease. And there was no cure for it. And so it was 10 men. They stood afar off. And the 13th verse said, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, what did they ask for?
Mercy.
How many of y'all need mercy? Have mercy on us. And when I'm trying to pastor this church, your mind go crazy, you need mercy. I'm trying to bring you somewhere. I'm not trying to handle you. I'm just trying to break you out of some things so you can go into some things that God, you can live long and live better. How many of y'all want to live long and live better? Yes, so that's what our job is, to show you the covenant, to open the kingdom up to you, and to give you revelation and place an anointing on your life. Nobody ain't got time to hurt your feeling. We're trying to help you as God exposed and revealed to us how vast and how expanded and how great he is. He is, you know. Yes, he the greatest. You know that, right?
Yes.
Say it. He the greatest.
Yeah,
absolutely, he's the greatest. And no doubt about it. That's right, Ronnie. No doubt about it. And we need to come to concern about it. When we come in his presence like this, man, great and mighty things can happen at any moment. You get in the presence of God Almighty, his seven redemptive name, Jehovah. Jehovah Shammah. He is present in our midst. Jehovah Nissi. He's a banner over my head. Jehovah Jireh. Woo, he is my provider. Jehovah Tsidkenu canoe. I once was lost, but now he's my righteousness. I'm justified and sanctified. Yeah, he is. All that. You got to know that, though. I said, and they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. 14, verse 14. And when he saw them, he said unto them, now watch this. Watch what he said. Go show yourself. unto the priest. Oh, nobody but Jesus can say something like that. Go. In other words, he in that statement, he's saying, you're healed. Now, the thing is, do you believe him? Yes, are you going to act on what he says? He says, go ye show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went. Now, let me break the English dialect down for us. Suppose they had not went. They'd have never got healed. That's why you don't have some things. You're not willing to do what he tell you to do. You have to be willing to make changes in order for things to happen in your life. All right? And it came to pass that as they went, they were what? They were what?
Cleansed.
They were cleansed. They were cleansed. Supernaturally cleansed. Super incurable disease. Just on Jesus' word. They were cleansed because they obeyed and acted on what he said. Could I get a witness on that? You got your Bible, right? They were what?
Cleansed.
They were, first they were lepers.
Yes, sir.
Now they what?
Cleansed.
Why? They acted on his word. All right? Follow me now. Now here where we get in problem. Here where 1 out of 10 worship him. And give him thanks and enough gratitude for what he have done for them. Here we see here now. And one of them. How many cried out to him?
One.
No, I know one cried out to him. I know one. See, how many cried out to him?
Ten.
Y'all got to listen. How many cried out, Lord, have mercy? How many of us had lepers?
Ten.
How many cried out?
Ten.
How many went?
Ten.
No, ten went. Come on. Y'all. How many went?
Ten.
How many got cleansed?
Ten.
How many came back?
One.
Now you're right. Now you're right. Now you're right. Now you're right. Y'all not listen. Y'all got to listen. Verse 15, and one of them, this is the point of the scripture. If you don't get this, you're going to be, and one of them, not 10 of them, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, now that boy broke out in worship here now, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody didn't get healed of me this morning, y'all following through.
Hallelujah.
Man, we got to do this by faith,
yes,
not by feeling.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jesus want to heal some disease in you this morning.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Blood pressure drop normal.
Yes.
And fell down on his face. And at his feet, giving thanks. See, that's a form of worship. And he was a Samaritan. He wasn't even in the church. And Jesus answering, said, where were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Look at verse 18, what he says. They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. He said, well, let me put some extra blessing on you. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith have made thee whole. In other words, everything else you need. You get it. Everything. You can get the whole redemptive package. If you're broken, you're not going to be broke no more. I bless your whole family. Because you came back and worshiped me. The mother boy probably going to relapse back into leprosy. You got to keep on praising him. Keep on worshiping him and thanking him for his goodness. Make that a lifestyle, not a moment. All right, now I'm going to set you up here now. I'm going to show you some things here this morning. In these few minutes I got, I'm going to show you some things about worship. This girl, Crystal Russell. This girl singing this thing, he deserved my worship. Boy, that girl is something. I've listened to that song at least 20 times. This week or more. I have it wrote down the words she said. You deserve my worship. You deserve my worship. Adoration and glory belong to you always. You deserve my worship. Yes, you do, Lord. You deserve my praise. Adoration and glory belong to you always. She says in the song, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cry out, hallelujah. I just want to thank you for saving me. You deserve my worship and you deserve my glory. So, turning your Bibles now to Philippians chapter 3, and I want you to write down, we're going to talk about it for a minute, God deserves my worship. Yes. Yes. Write that down, write that down, write that down. God deserves my worship. We read this in one scripture, and I thought giving you some principles you can work to bring your life to this position swiftly, and some of the benefit that would come from it. God deserved my worship. In Philippians, I said what I said, Philippians or Colossians? Philippians 3 and 3 I want to look at. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. That's powerful, isn't it? Watch it now. For we are of the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, how many of y'all believe God deserves your worship? How many of y'all know many times your body do not want to worship? Your body won't do something else. Now, let me give you these points to help you become to give God the worship he deserves. When you give God the worship he deserves, God will turn on you. What you mean God will turn on you? Not turn his back, he'll turn his face towards you. God cannot get you off his mind if you worship him. If you don't recognize and realize in reality what God has done for you, you cannot worship him properly or you will not worship him at all. You see, we must meditate on what God has done for us. It does something for us. It pulls us closer to God. The things, the dilemmas that God have got you out of, the situation God have dealt with for you that you couldn't deal with yourself. Are you following me? Huh? When you recognize that, you can't help yourself. For every now and then, like that lady do, Lord, raise your hand in the air and say, thank you, sir. Has he done anything for you? Now, if he hasn't done nothing for you, don't worship him. He don't deserve no worship. If he hasn't done, don't raise your hand to him. If he hasn't done nothing for you, don't you raise your hand. He don't deserve it. But anybody in this house that declared this morning that God don't deserve your worship, you out of your mind, because who woke you up this morning? He deserves our worship. He deserves our praise every day, every moment, because the Lord has been good to me. Has he been good to you? All right, you may be seated. Lord, I thank you. Yes, yeah, Lord, I thank you. He brought me. True worship is more than an emotional moment. Listen, it carries memories of God's goodness. It carries memories. It's more than an emotional moment. You know, we're getting these emotional moments. But no, a true worshiper carries memories of God's goodness. Anybody got any memories of God's goodness? Huh? That's true worship. It's not an emotional moment just because the other crowd, just because the one on your row got their hand up hollering, the other and raising their hand. That's not real worship. Real worship is when you remind yourself. Or when the Holy Ghost remind you. God has done great things in my life, and I'm glad about it. I want to acknowledge God. I want to tell him, I know you the one brought me. I want to praise him. He's my source. I'm dependent upon him and him alone. I got some good memories about God. I got saved, man. You remember when you got baptized with the Holy Ghost? What? See, that's the joy of life. How many of y'all remember when you got saved? How many of y'all remember the first time you spoke in tongues? My God, went into another world, went into orbit. And the thing is, and the real truth about the thing is, God is not too blessing you yet. The more you worship him, the more he's going to bless you. See, the nine messed up. That one boy is on target. That boy came back and glorified God with a loud voice. Wow, I was a leopard. Look, my hand and my arm are clean. You did it. And give him the glory. Make you something else to improve your worship. Worship includes the ability to announce God's greatness on the spot right now. Unashamedly. I don't care who around me. I don't care if the president, I don't care who around me. I don't care if the richest man in the world, I don't care who around me. I don't care who, what group, I don't care what sorority or society around me. I can worship God on the spot. You know that people smoke anywhere they want to smoke? They drink beer anywhere, they cuss anywhere they want to cuss? Why can't we worship God anywhere? Somebody do that at church. I am the church. Listen to me. Them nine, and that's what happened to them. He who forget to worship will fail the progress. There's progress in worship. I said there's progress in worship. There's progress that you're not going to make unless you worship God. See, that when that man came back, he came back, he fell on his face. He had a loud voice. What are you saying? Thank you. You know, probably saying like we used to say in the Baptist, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Worshipers gets God's full attention at once. If any way you can get God's attention, you know, if you begin to worship him and praise him and thank him and honor him and adore him, he's been looking for you. Remember what Jesus taught us? For the Father seeking such to worship him? You get God's attention. We've read, we've studied that people have prayed and they wasn't getting through. And that lady, that Syrophoenician woman in the 15th chapter of Matthew, they had called her a dog, they did all kind of stuff. And that woman went into worship. She got Jesus' attention. Now, may the Holy Spirit anoint you with fresh worship this morning. I'm talking about all in your car, at home, that you just take time to worship God and thank God. It's going to change your family. It's going to change your life. The next statement is worship is about to change your life and your family. God deserves my worship. Say it.
God deserves my worship.
Think about it now. You know what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
You recognize what he's done for you?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
You recognize what worship really is?
Yes, sir.
Worship is honoring him, respecting him, adoring him, speaking hallelujah to him.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory.
Praise your holy name.
Praise your holy name.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you
for everything you've done for me.
Everything you've done for me. Glory to God.
See.
Thank you.
When you come to grip with this fact that God deserves my worship, the real revelation of his godly will become a reality. You'll start knowing what God's next move is. You heard that? You'll start knowing what God's next move is. When you worship him, he'll reveal his real will to you while you're worshiping him. Why? Why would he do it? He knows you can trust him. A worshiper, you cannot tie or bind or lock a worshiper down. Why? God is going to show them a way out. As sure as I tell you, that person who's standing up worshiping God, God is going to give them some wisdom. Watch this now. Y'all listen over there? God going to give them some wisdom that only worship can produce. That means everybody in this room have some uncaught wisdom. There's a wisdom that comes only through worship. You cannot stay baffled. You cannot stay confused. You cannot stay in defeat. Worship will lift you up out of it. My. Did you hear that? Just you and God. You start off slow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you for your goodness. And you get caught in the spirit of worship, and then your wisdom start coming that you never seen before. Amen? Amen? Now listen, because this is a long statement, but I want to get it into you. The Holy Spirit, you think he know how to worship? The Holy Spirit is to be invited into and involved in our worship, enlarging, equipping, and expanding us in praise-filled, Christ-exalted, and God-honoring ways that bring us to the place of true worship. I'll give it to you again. I'll give it to you again. Y'all can't write too fast. Some of y'all can't type too fast. I see y'all hitting them buttons. Hit that button with one finger. You can't get it fast like that. The Holy Spirit. See, this is what's going to happen as we invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, teach me how to worship the Father. See. And see, the Holy Spirit will teach you how to worship. And he gets you involved. The Holy Spirit will get you involved in real worship. You'll get caught up. And you'll lose all self-righteousness. And you'll drop your ego off somewhere. And it'll just be you, God, your worship, and your infirmities. Where grace can take over. Grace cannot take over where you're showing your face. Well, when I say showing your face, as if you know what you're doing. God, grace take over when you show your infirm side. Your weak side, you recognizing, God, I can't handle this family mess by myself. I can't handle this problem by myself. Lord, I'm weak, you strong. Lord, I can't handle this disease by myself. I worship you, help me with this. When I'm weak, then am I strong. You don't have to go around saying I'm weak. You're already weak without him. The Bible said, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord. I can do all things through Christ, what strengthens me. It's ego and self. Your smartness make you retarded in the spirit. It came out. It's come out. Oh, Jesus. Whoa, I know my tail tweeting. Tweet it out. Your smartness make you retarded in the spirit. I agree with that. Y'all agree with that? I know I agree with it. He just come out. He just came out. The Holy Spirit is to be invited into and involved in our worship. Got that? And here's what it would happen. Enlarging, equipping, and expanding us in praise-filled, Christ-exalted. See, Christ is exalted when you're worshiping God. And God-honoring ways. Worship is God-honoring ways that bring us to a place of true worship. Hello? How many had leopard? How many came back? What the one did when he come back? He glorified God with a loud voice, fell on his face, and he gave glory to God, didn't he? Huh? Do you have anything to give glory to God about? You see, Satan make you look at what you don't have. But some old writer, somebody say you ought to count your blessings one by one. And partner, you'll find out, you'll take off running. You really stop and let the Holy Spirit show you how blessed you are. And you start counting them blessings, you'll be shouting all over the house. Everybody in this room is blessed.
Receive it. Amen. That's
all. Listen, I need to say this. You don't have to be perfect to serve God. Jesus Christ is the perfect one. You in him. And he's perfecting you every day. So here's a word from the Lord. Don't let your mistake mislead you.
Come on.
Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Because if you make a mistake, the Holy Spirit is going to lead you into green pasture that you can recover by discovering that God still loves me in spite of. And the Spirit of God said to tell you, grace is still in place. The church still, or the church need the glory of God fully and continuously. Let's position ourselves. The church need the glory of God fully and continuously, let's position ourselves. When I say let's position ourselves, let's learn to worship him. And when we worship him, we'll have his glory, his goodness and his glory fully. See, can you agree with this? I'm just about to close. What? The goodness of God calls for our worship and praise. The goodness of God calls for our worship and praise. When I think about his goodness and what he done for me. What did he say? What did the next episode say? My soul cries. My soul cries out hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The goodness of God called for our praise, worship and praise. And then the Lord showed me that, I thought about what he said of being my shepherd. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my day. I felt that. I felt that. Wouldn't be for him, I wouldn't be here.
Come on, Dad. Come on now.
What goodness didn't catch in my life? Mercy caught it. That's why I'm here. I'm here because goodness and mercy have been taking care of me. Come on here. Come on here. I want somebody to testify up in here. May vast goodness and mercy, vast goodness, great quantity of goodness and mercy follow you under the sound of my voice all the day of your life. Hallelujah. But goodness can't catch you, mercy catch you. You ready for this? Sit down. I want you to write this. Come here, son. I'm going to lay a hand on you. Come here. Come here. You, Ronald. Come here. Come here. I want you to help me, too. Help me get this job done. But at the same time, it's a law of devil reference. The Lord going to help you. All right? All right. Forget ego. Forget everything else. Just lay your life down. Romans 12, 1, 2, 3. God going to correct everything. Going to bless you. You're going to live on a higher level. But you got to stay tuned in. You understand? You got the potential, and they're coming out of you now, but you got to stick with it. Yeah, don't let nobody put no hole in your head. A person go to talking crazy, just say, no, I'll hold that right there. Okay? Because you're reconstructing something, and God going to bring you and your family right where you should be. I told you that twice. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen. Worship will cause you to be rooted and grounded in God's presence. When you worship, you will have no fear. Why? I know the Lord is near. Why? I've been in his presence. I called his name. I told him how much I love him. I told him, thank you for what he already have done. I thanked him for the future. So my future can't deceive me because I'm in the presence of God. Listen to this. Worship will cause you to be rooted and grounded in the presence of God. God's greatness demands our worship. You have to know he's great. He is the general of all spiritual business. He's the captain of my soul. We got to worship him. We got to honor him. Glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost. Y'all just do what I tell y'all to do now. You're going to come out all right. I'm telling y'all what the Lord told me. You see, both Joshua, Moses at the burning bush, Joshua right before the wall of Jericho, battle for Jericho, both was told, take your shoes off for you're standing on holy ground. The Lord is saying in this house this morning, take your shoes off for you standing on holy ground because you're learning how to worship me. That is holy ground. Goodbye self. Goodbye ego. Goodbye self-righteousness. You about to walk with me in the spirit? But to do that, you have to take your shoes off. Your will, your want, your desire, and let me address your will. Let me address your desire, and let me help you get there. Now, I'm going to have to say this by faith. I'm going to say it by faith on your behalf, not by faith on my behalf, because I got it already. And I ain't talking about no money either. From this day forward, you're going to live the good life. Don't care what hell bring up, heaven going to knock it down. Why? You sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. But you got to activate that promise. And one of the ways to activate it is keep yourself in praise and worship to God. All right, just a few more minutes. Come on. I might close on this. I'm getting happy with my own preaching. I look at the next note, I say, oh, Jesus, can I take this? Not only say it, can I take it? Not can the congregation take it, because I'm about to say something. You got to be really listening to what I'm about to say now. Because the Holy Ghost spoke that in my study while I was praying. He says, all ungodly substance die in the presence of worship. You getting that, Pastor? You got it? All ungodly substance die in the presence of worship. No ungodly thing can stay in your life if you continue to worship. It dies. Sickness and disease die in the presence of worship. Poverty and lack and limitation die in the presence of worship. Listen to what the Holy Ghost said. All ungodly substance begins to die in the presence of worship. Thank you, Jesus. Boy, that's a powerful statement. I had to get back and get that word because he said, all ungodly substance began to die. Yeah, it began to die in the presence of worship. But if you keep on worshiping it, you're going to die. In other words, when you're worshiping, you're killing the works of the devil. You're killing ungodly substance. You're killing habits that you don't want in your life. It might not happen tonight, but it's going to happen tomorrow night. Might not happen this week, but it's going to happen next week. Yes, might not happen this month, but it's going to happen next month. Yes, I'm going to keep on worshiping it. Yes, sir. Why? Let me show you, give me insight. Why? The devil himself cannot stay in the presence of worship. Yes, sir. He was a worshiper, but he lost his worshiping position. He cannot worship God anymore. So when a person is worshiping, God tell the devil, you can't come here. You lost.
Yes, sir. That's right.
You create an atmosphere where the devil can't come. Now, people who are ungrateful and unthankful will not worship God. They will not. They're still in ego. They're still in self. They still don't recognize who did this for them, you see. Now, listen to this. This is, one minute. Those who are trying to use God to get what they want will not continually worship God.
That's good.
They're trying to use God to get what they want. So they say, oh, hallelujah, glory to God. Then they get what they want. Oh, come on, go back to our text. I believe that the 10 before with the leopard did everything in their power. I'm just going to use my mind then. I beat their head both hands down. I said, you the greatest one. Why? They wanted something. Now my question is, did they continue? I've seen people come to this church just to use it to get married and left after they got married. But I caught on to that mess many years ago. I know one of my homegirls came here and stayed here and said, yeah, she loved God so much. She just come here to use this church to get married. The Holy Ghost told me. I said, all right, I marked that down. That ain't happening no more. They ain't going to use God's stuff just to put on a show for their marriage. And so when y'all call my secretary asking all them questions, don't y'all get all upset talking about, y'all got to answer all this? Yeah, you got to answer all that. You answer all that, you answer the government, you answer everybody else, you answer the doctor office, the lawyer office, everybody else, you just sit there, yes, ma'am. How old are you? Yes, ma'am, I'm so old. And they just keep you go through all that. But yeah, you don't want to answer nothing. You don't want to fill out no sheet or nothing. Just, I won't come. You see, that's when preachers let y'all got off with that, and that's why y'all ain't got no spiritual training. Y'all just handle the church any kind of way. This is a business, too. How long you been here? 2 months. You don't get married yet. I don't know. Too fast. Let the Holy Ghost really talk. Then y'all gonna come put all this stuff in, stick stuff off that the wall. Y'all can't stick all this stuff out the wall. You gotta bring portable stuff that you can move. We gotta have church next Sunday. You can't be putting no dye and all that stuff up in here. Got too many rules over there. You can't put my pink flower. No, not if they're gonna leak. We done worked too hard to build this church. You're going to come here for one day and you're going to put all this Mardi Gras stuff up in here. Stand on your feet. Hey, Montreal, do you have that song? That girl, Tucker. I want to hear it right now while we stand. I would try to get one of y'all to sing it, but that girl went 2 or 3 levels there. I don't know who went up there, but her and the Lord, and she was up there with the angels, I believe. When the first part, I said, oh, we can handle it. Then we got about halfway that song. I said, we're going to pray a little while before we try to tackle this. But I just want, can you get it? I did, yeah. I told them to be ready in case I'm going to use it. Now they're going to act like I got amnesia or something like that. But my mind in good shape. I know what I said. How many of y'all ever heard that song? She said,